we are closing the sermon portion of this series, 2025 Top 5. Excuse me while I go get a microphone. Okay, mic check. All right, here we go. We are closing, or actually ending the last part of this series. And so next week, what's going to happen, I'm going to talk about next week before I get to this week. But next Sunday, what we're going to do is go through all of the top five topics again, but this will be your chance to ask questions. Assuming you've gone through and you've heard the sermons, maybe you still have questions left about, you know, what was preached. And so next week will be that time to ask your questions. And so it will be a question answer format. That sermon period can last 5 minutes or it can last an hour. It all depends on you. So if you have your questions, including today's sermon, we want you to bring that next week. So with that said, today is the last, is number five of 2020 Top 5. Now, to give you a head start, it's going to be coming, we're going to be starting in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, that is in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Go to the table of contents, find Leviticus, and meet me at the 19th chapter, Leviticus 19. In the meantime, topic one was false teachers and false teaching. And we had several sermon topics submitted. False prophets, prosperity preachers. If a preacher or a teacher mispronounces a word or misspells or misunderstands a Bible verse, is he a false prophet? And against prosperity preaching, why? And what we tried to do was go through them and come up with this point, which is keep the main thing the main thing. Anything else is a fake thing. Then we went to the second topic, and we talked about where the money is going. Again, these are topics that you selected for me to preach on. And so the topics that were submitted were God does not need our money, the church does. And explain tithes. The money is not for God, it's for the church. And so we talked about it, and then we ended on this. If we want people to hear the gospel, then put your money where your mouth is. Again, Leviticus 19. I'm going to topic number three, religious versus spiritual. And then the sermon topics that were submitted on this were, of all religions in the world, what makes this one the right one? And then the other topic was spiritual versus religion. And we talked about all of this and came to the final point that says, you should be spiritual and religious. If you're not both of them, you're none of them. And then last week we talked about the Old Testament. The Old Testament. And then the topics that were submitted were, are the Ten Commandments no longer applicable? We are in the grace. Why read the Old Testament? The books in the Bible. Who wrote them and why? And we spent quite a bit of time talking about it and came to the conclusion that the OT, which I like to call the old treasure, is still treasure. It's an oldie, but it's a goodie. And today, we are concluding the fifth topic that was generated, again, from you. You selected this for me to preach. And we are coming from the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter and the 8th verse. Leviticus 19, 18, and I will be coming out of the Christian Standard Bible version. Now, we are going to be doing a whole lot of scripture hopping today. So you want to keep your own Bibles and keep your own notes for this. But we will start with this right now. Leviticus, the 19th chapter, 18th verse, which says, do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And the final topic is love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. The topics that you submitted were deeper meaning of loving your neighbor. They will know them by their love. And how gossip kills love for one another. This is what you submitted. And in addressing these topics, the Lord led me in my research and my studying to an interesting fact. Apparently, this command to love your neighbor as yourself, which we just read in Leviticus, apparently, this is the most quoted scripture in the New Testament. It's the most quoted scripture in the New Testament. And I just found that extremely interesting. You know, the Old Testament, we talked about this last week, it says a whole lot. But something that gets repeated over and over in the New Testament is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so today, we're going to go through those references. When people called out that scripture and said, love your neighbor, what was going on? Because I know you asked for a deeper meaning of love your neighbor. Well, it helps to see where it applies. And so we're going, what I would encourage you to do, actually, is to write these scriptures down. Again, we have a recording of this on our website and on Spotify and Pandora and all of those places, Apple Music, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera, as well as the video on Facebook. You can go back through these scriptures if you don't have an ability to take notes. However, what we're going to do is see all the places that we talk about love your neighbor as yourself. And we're going to see what they say, because sometimes, you know, the Bible can just preach itself. You know, it actually doesn't require a whole lot for me to do. So in Matthew 5, verses 43 through 47, this is Jesus talking, Sermon on the Mount. He says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor. There's that OT quote. And then hate your enemy. That's what other people thought. Love your neighbor. That's Bible. Hate your enemy. That's people's interpretation. Verse 44, but I tell you, Jesus says, love your enemies. I know I lost half of y'all right now. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Let me reread that. Love the people that hate you. Love the people that are after you. Love the people that despise you. Love the people that are trying to get over on you. Love them. Yeah, it didn't land well in Jesus' day either. So that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Keep reading. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Again, y'all asked me to preach on loving your neighbor. This is what it is. Somebody said, move on, Pastor. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22 says, just then someone came up and asked him, asked Jesus, teacher, what good must I do to have eternal life? And this is Jesus responding in verse 17. Why do you ask me about what is good? He said to him. There's only one who is good. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He asked him. Jesus answered, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Verse 19, honor your father and your mother and love your neighbor as yourself. See, it popped up again. Now, verse 20, this guy says, I have kept all these. The young man told him, what do I still lack? If you want to be perfect, Jesus said to him, this is in verse 21. Go, sell your belongings and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard that, he went away grieving because he had many possessions. So I guess when you got to love your neighbor, you got to put your money where your mouth is. Somebody said, Pastor, you already preached on that. Move on. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to test him. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? Verse 37, he said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. Now, question. The question was, which command in the law is the greatest, right? Verse 36. Now, command is it plural or singular? It's singular. They're asking which command, singular. They're not asking which commands, plural. They're asking for the command, singular. And Jesus gives the most important command. But then Jesus says, I'm going to give you a second one. And the second is like it. And guess what it is? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's verse 39. Why? Verse 40. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. They wanted the most important command. And Jesus said that loving your neighbor is so important that it can't be left off of any list. You ask for one command, I have to give you two. Because I can't just tell you to love God and then don't tell you to love your neighbor. They go together. All of the law, we talked about the law, what's the law, right? All of those 613 commands and the prophets talking about those 613 commands, all of that depend on these two commands. Love God and love others. Keep going. The book of Mark, 12th chapter, 28 through 34. Y'all said go deep. We going deep. One of the scribes approached When he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well. Again, Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. I'm on verse 28. When he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well, he asked them, "Which command is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, listen, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is," again, given two commands when only one was asked for. "The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these." Now watch how this follows up. Verse 32. "Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher.'" Imagine telling Jesus, "Yeah, you got it right, Jesus. You got it right. You have correctly said that he is one, and there is no one else except him." Verse 33, "And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is far more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." This is what the scribe said, right? Verse 34, "When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him," oh boy, "'You are not far from the kingdom of God.'" And no one dared to question him any longer. Jesus told him, "Great answer. You're almost saved. Great answer. You get it. You understand. You're not too far off. You can see the kingdom of God. You're kind of close." And what does that mean? Why are we mentioning this? It's because loving your neighbor involves more than answering questions correctly. You might know the answer, Christians. You can come to church and give a fantastic answer. A person like me could come up and preach a fantastic sermon about how you should love your neighbor. That's great. We can talk about it real good. And you know what Jesus would say? He's like, "Good. I'm glad you're close." But how many of us actually do it? You're close if you understand what's going on. You're close. You're right there. If you understand that loving your neighbor is more important than sacrifices and obedience and all that, yes, we get it. But there's a little bit more than just knowing. Move on, Pastor. Luke 10, verses 25 through 37, it says, "Then an expert in the law stood up to test him, saying, 'Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he asked them. 'How do you read it?' He answered," verse 27, "'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" Verse 28, Jesus says, "You've answered correctly," he told him. "Do this and you will live." But you know, some people can't just be good with answers, right? Verse 29, "But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Jesus took up the question and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him up, and fled, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But, verse 33, a Samaritan on his journey came up to him. And when he saw the man, he had compassion. Now, those of us, so there's some of us that might already know that Samaritans and Jews did not get along. You know, this whole thing we have nowadays going on between Republicans and Democrats, you know, and how much they hate each other, that would be cute compared to the hate that they had to deal with. So let me reread this. Verse 30. Let me go back to verse 30. It said, a man was going down from LA to San Diego and got jumped. They stripped him, beat him up, left him half dead. A pastor of a mega church happened to be going down that road, and he saw him, but decided that, you know, I got a place to go, and I'm going to just get around. In the same way, another minister, when he arrived at the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But with this man being a Democrat, a Republican, with a red hat on, in his ICE uniform, came up to him. And when he saw the man, he had compassion. That made sense to half of y'all. But, assuming the man that got beat up is a Republican, a transvestite Democrat transvestite, transgender, Antifa, Democrat. After the preacher done passed him by, after the pastor done passed him by, this Democrat came up on him. And when he saw the man, he had compassion. Some of y'all said, this ain't funny no more. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Verse 35, the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend. The Republican with the MAGA hat did that. Working for ICE, he did that. The transvestite, you know, transgender Democrat, Antifa, she did that. Verse 36, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Verse 37, the lawyer answered, the one who showed mercy to him. Now, Jesus had already identified this person as a Samaritan, right? So that tells you how much they hated him. They didn't even want to say that a Samaritan did it. They didn't even want to answer the question with the Samaritan. Just the one who showed mercy. Then Jesus told him, go and do the same. Y'all wanted to talk about loving y'all neighbor. Romans 13. Don't worry, we coming to an end. Somebody said, we need to end this sermon right now. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Romans 13, 8 through 10, it says, do not owe anyone anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this or by this commandment. What? Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Uh-oh. But what if they deserve it? Love does no wrong to a neighbor. But don't you see what they did to me? Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Galatians 5, 13 through 15. It says, for you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement. Everybody together, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. We're supposed to love our neighbors, not bite them and chew them out. We're supposed to love our neighbors, not flaunt what God did for us and what God allows us to do, and you can't tell me nothing, and this and that. We're supposed to be loving each other. Again, in the sermon. Book of James, verses 8 through 9. Indeed, if you fulfill the royal law prescribed in the scripture, the royal law is love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. If, however, you show favoritism, oh boy, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Oh boy. So you mean I gotta treat people equally? Now, if I go, and y'all know how much I love Sister Hudson, and I say, Sister Hudson, I'm so glad you're in church today. I'm so glad you're feeling better. Hallelujah. Everybody give a hand, round of applause for Sister Hudson. Amen. I'm so glad to see you. Amen. She says she is too. You know, what's Mother Jenkins going to think? Hello? That's why, even though you might have been here last week, you might have been here last year, that's why I don't make a whole big deal of that, because people get their feelings hurt. And how do I know this? I know this from personal experience with you. It happened. I'm not going to tell you who. Don't even try to. See, there we go. Starting to gossip. Don't even. Nuh-uh. Okay. But it happened. Where I mentioned that certain people were here. I hadn't seen them in a long time. Just wanted to honor them and do all of that. And somebody called, or I forgot if they called me or got word to me, that they had their feelings hurt because they hadn't been to church in a while and I didn't say their name. I'm talking about you, St. John. This happened here. And so I learned. Stop that. Some of you do way more in church than others. Just let's be real. Some of you put in a lot of work here. Some of you not as much. Some of you wish you could, but you can't. I get that. But some of us put in a lot of work here. Some of us don't. I can't be coming here and saying, oh, Deacon so-and-so. Look how much, Deacon, you are the example. I wish everybody could be like Deacon. And then other people are like, but I came and helped with the food last week, so that don't mean nothing. These are real conversations, y'all. People really leave the church because of that. Y'all know that, right? You know, people, you know, it's sad, actually. But people are really sensitive. And if somebody like me doesn't acknowledge your presence because I'm picking my favorites, hello? Love your neighbor as yourself. So that means because you're a big tither, you don't get the best seat or the best parking spot or a plaque on the wall. No, I'm not going to do that. Because you got people in here who do not have money that wish they could, but they can't. No, they don't have 10 grand to just donate. No, they don't. Hello? Okay, move on. So now we get to our scripture, Leviticus 19. Going way back into the Old Testament, verse 15. Do not act unjustly when deciding a case. Verse 15. These are commands that the Lord is giving through Moses to Israel. Do not be partial to the poor or give preference to the rich. Judge your neighbor fairly. This is all going somewhere. Verse 16. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Oh boy. You know, there's two ways to spread it. You can start it or you can repeat it. Y'all know that, right? Y'all can't be going like, well, I didn't know that. Well, so-and-so had told me that, so I just said what so-and-so said. You're gossiping. You're slandering. But it didn't come from me. It doesn't matter if it came from you. And it doesn't matter if what you said, somebody else twisted and then added some sauce to it. Why are you going around spreading negative information? First of all, if you want to verify something, go to that person directly. Stop going around and asking different people, well, what does Mother So-and-so say? What Sister So-and-so do? If you really want to know, go to them directly. Oh boy. Y'all realize we have industries built on gossip. It's actually literally some people's jobs to gossip. That's how they get paid. That's how they put food on their table. It's to gossip. And trust me, I am not speaking holier than thou. I'm not holier than thou on this one. You know, when I read the word, you know, I get convicted too, okay? So let me just be clear. Now, maybe you've never gossiped in your life. Fantastic. God bless you. But I've had to look at myself. Hello? How can I love somebody and be backstabbing them at the same time? How can I love somebody and be killing their image at the same time? Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not jeopardize your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Y'all, you know what? Speaking on that, jeopardize your neighbor's life. I was like, wow, that jumped really quickly. But then I realized how many people have had their lives threatened because of some. Oh, I heard so-and-so. I heard you want it. We've seen this on the news, y'all, with politicians. Verse 17, do not harbor hatred against your brother. What are you going to do about it? Rebuke your neighbor directly, and you will not incur guilt because of him. So don't, if you got a problem with somebody, what did I just say? Go to them and tell them that you have an issue. But don't just leave here all mad and just, I don't like what so and sister says, so. I ain't coming back to St. John because of this. Some of us are laughing, but this has happened with people we know here. I don't like what so-and-so said. Rebuke your neighbor directly, and you will not incur guilt because of him. Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community. But what, everybody? Love your neighbor as yourself. And the Lord ends it with his signature, I am the Lord. You know what? This is a tough sermon. It's tough for y'all to hear, and it's tough for me to preach. Because even I realize that there are some areas that I have fallen short. For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we got to do it. Why? Because of those last four words. I am the Lord. We don't get a choice. We don't get to choose if we like or get to love somebody. The Lord is saying that we ought to love others. Why? John 13, verse 34. I give you a new command. Love one another. This is Jesus talking. But why is it new? We just talked about how many times it got used. Look at what Jesus says. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. Why is this so important? Verse 35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Not if you say you love one another. Not just if I preach about loving one another. Not just if we go to seminars about loving one another. Not just if we give out candy on Valentine's Day about loving one another. But they will know this if we actually do it.